You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Great, Hera. It's time for another episode of Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show where we talk about all the latest pop and geek culture news. I don't say pop and geek culture enough times during this intro.
No, you never say pop and geek culture enough. Never.
I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news for you. But first, let's get into some things we've been checking out. And I hope you guys have been checking things out.
Oh, occasionally. I did get the new Mass Effect, but I've only done the character creation.
Oh, is that the Mass Effect Andromeda?
Yeah.
That one?
Yep.
I heard they fixed the faces. Did they fix the faces?
I am not in it far enough to know.
Okay.
I literally have done the character creator, and that's it.
And that's it. Okay.
And it proudly holds up the Mass Effect tradition of your male character looking like his head was carved out of a potato. Yeah. And his hair is yarn that had brown temper paint poured all over it.
Awesome. Great. I love it so far.
So far I'm not impressed.
I actually heard there was some patch updates and they fixed all the faces and all the dialogue. There were some of the dialogue was super, super simplistic, and they went through and re-recorded lines and stuff because it was so bad.
I considered not patching it and playing it without the patch, but that would lock me out of the online stuff, so
gotcha.
I went ahead and patched it. So I'll never get to see the original experience with all the weird frog walking and lip flap problems.
The unfinished game that was Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah.
That's what it was. They rushed that thing out too quick. It wasn't done.
Yeah. I'm afraid I'm not going to like it from a mechanic standpoint, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those games that has a big old open world and nothing to do in it, kill X number of aliens. Because that's what The Last Dragon Age was, which is another BioWare game, and I just could not get into it because of it.
Was that the one where you can throw other people?
No, that was Dragon's Dogma.
Okay, all right. Now, that looked like a fun game.
It's all right. But then again, I wasn't playing as Randy Johnson.
and Pan Pan, the baseball boy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Monster Factory on YouTube is great.
Did you want to talk about the ARMS test
punch? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tell me about ARMS.
We both played the ARMS test punch.
It's actually kind of pretty cool because it let two players local, stay together.
Oh, really?
So you can play together.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But it's still, because it was it called party mode?
Yeah.
It would just throw you in different situations, just a screen, and sometimes you'd play, the volleyball game.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you play with the person you're with, sometimes not.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes it's a 3-on-3, sometimes it's 2-on-2.
It's a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it just rotates who you're fighting and what you're doing, constantly, and it keeps you, on your toes, and it's fun.
Cool. How does it play? Did you play with the motion controls or the sticks?
We both did exclusively motion controls because that's what it seems like it was meant to be played that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like it'd probably be better if not, because I was probably moving my arms too much.
Yeah. I think you get a little more precision if you use the regular controls.
Mm-hmm.
But
I guess fun though.
Yeah, it was a really fun game. It's a fighting game. It may be a little simple with just punching and moving and jumping.
Yeah.
It's pretty much all the controls.
It'll be interesting to see when they get the rest of the arms.
Mm-hmm.
And because you only get a select few, obviously.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and some of the characters weren't there yet. No Twintel, no RoboCop and Dog.
Now, I've heard it plays a little bit kind of like Pokken Tournament, the arena style kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. It's a little
like
bit,
the movement, I guess.
Yeah.
It's
a little bit Power Stone-y, I thought.
Okay.
But maybe not. You don't move as freely around.
Okay.
But it definitely reminds me of Power Stone. Even the art style is kind of Power Stone-y.
It is, yeah. Man, I know I've said it before, but I am really glad Nintendo is continuing to make new IPs.
And doing such a good job at it.
Oh, yeah.
These are Overwatch-level interesting characters.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite was Mechanica.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I played around with all of them, but did the best as her and stuck with her.
Okay, cool.
I like the mummy.
Master mummy.
Mummy boy.
Apparently the most popular was Ninjara, who I thought was kind of generic looking.
Yeah.
And Min Min, which was...
She was alright, too. I liked her.
She was the first one I tried, because I like her ramen style.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Mechanica better.
Yeah. I heard the her special, that dragon thing, is like has a really long like reload or whatever.
Yeah.
Or cooldown or whatever you call it. And that's kind of frustrating or whatever. Well, cool. Cool.
Mechanica had the most wins out of all the characters, too, apparently.
I think
it's because she has a move that's a big hammer, and it punches out, and then it takes a second to bonk the other player. And I think that second between the punch and the bonk is what throws people off.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Like, she has an advantage now, but people will get used to that, and it won't work anymore.
Right. Yeah, but...
It feels good. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
It's very fluid and...
Yeah, because you could even, like, curve your...
Okay, yeah,
your arms
yeah.
and stuff, and it just feels pretty natural and good, I think.
It's really good motion controls. It doesn't feel, like, as floaty and...
It takes a minute to get used to it, because it is pretty sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to hold the controller different. You hold it, like, straight up and down.
It's like they call it a thumbs up.
Pose, and you use your thumb to hit the two triggers on the top of the Joy-Con.
Oh, okay.
Those are the only buttons you use.
Oh, wow. All right. Interesting.
But yeah, it's really cool, and we'll probably play it again when they do the test punch this coming weekend.
Oh, is it this weekend as well?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm probably going to miss out on that one as well. I've been keeping an eye out on it. I know it's probably going to be a game I'm going to pick up day one just because, well, it's a fighting game. I have to.
Yeah. Normally, when they do beta tests like this, they run them for more than an hour. I don't know why Nintendo does that.
I don't know. And I mean, you'd think they'd want to stress test their servers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the majority of it is, right?
I think so. I don't know. It might be all marketing at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm surprised they didn't do one for Mario Kart.
Yeah, I guess, but...
It's Mario Kart.
It's Mario Kart.
The infrastructure is already there from the other game, too.
I think it makes sense to do it for this game because it's a new IP. Yeah. Try to get people used to it. And
yeah.
They're not like, that's weird. What is it?
I mean, I'll definitely buy it day one, too. I liked it enough.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, after it was over, I was like, man, I kind of want to play that again.
So do you see this as being like almost like a... successor to like Wii Boxing kind of like party game kind of level of, you know,
I think there's a lot more going on than Wii Boxing, but it does feel very similar.
Okay.
Like this is in the natural evolution of Wii Boxing.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So what you're saying is arms for Evo 2018.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I think with the different arm switches, like different arm loadouts you can do and stuff, I think there's enough depth there for it to be an e-sport. That's what the kids are calling them these days. I've never been all that interested in the e-sport scene.
No, neither have I. Neither have I.
Because they work these games down to like the barest of the mechanics and finding the best way to...
It stops being fun.
Yeah, it's not a game anymore. Like, at least not the way it's intended.
It's a different kind of game.
Yeah, it turns into a completely different game that does not interest me.
Like, with, like, for me, with, like, Street Fighter and stuff, I started kind of dipping into, like, frame advantage and, like, stuff like that. And it's like, I just kind of want to just play the game.
Yeah.
It's
like those professional Smash Brothers players that do all the wave dashing and
and those whiny babies that, you know, if their controllers don't work, like, because I guess there was a news article a minor one a couple weeks ago where this huge Smash player rage quit a tournament because his special controller didn't work because one out of every 100 of these GameCube controllers were had a defect in them that made like wave dashing, you know, easier. And because his special snowflake of a controller wasn't working and he was going to have to use like the tournament like provided controllers, he just up and like quit because he's a giant baby.
Wow.
Yeah. See, that's the kind of thing that really kind of makes me go, fighting game community. No, yeah. No, thank you.
There was a minor controversy recently about, I think it was Tekken, which, first of all, who cares about Tekken?
Well, there's new Tekken coming out. Tekken 7. But it has Akuma in it. You know, the one character that can throw a fireball.
Yeah. But the guy was upset or just not happy because they were running it at the wrong resolution.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, like, well, he stopped at mid-match to change the try to change his resolution, and that's not allowed. Like, totally not allowed.
Because there's one resolution where it's faster, but not really. Like, they don't know for sure.
Yeah. It's like a millisecond of, like, lag, like input lag, I think is what it was. And but I mean, who cares? Just play a fighting game.
Yeah, play the game.
Yeah.
They're meant to be enjoyed, not torn apart. Yeah. And
but then again, when we play games, we typically don't have thousands of dollars on the line.
Yeah, this is
and sponsorships
true.
And stuff. I mean, if I were being sponsored to play, like, you know, whatever competitive
Magikarp jump,
yeah, I would probably be, you know, super into the metagame, I suppose. But I don't know.
I have to quit. This Magikarp doesn't have the right stats. I have to kill it. But speaking of Magikarp jump,
yes, Magikarp jump. That is a fun iOS game.
It's kind of a surprise new Pokemon.
Yeah,
game.
Yeah.
Kind of came out of nowhere.
It's really super simplistic.
Oh yeah.
And doesn't demand a lot of your time or money. Like, you don't have to spend any money on it.
Oh, no.
And it just kind of goes.
It's pretty generous with the premium currency that you use to buy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, no, it's great. You just have train up a Magikarp to a certain level and then run them through a league where you competitively jump to see who is the highest.
Yeah. And when you're outside of that league, you're training it to get more jump points. They have one stat.
Mm-hmm.
It's JP. It's, yeah. It's how high they can jump. You know, you feed it the food that shows up in its pond. You take it to do different training types.
Yeah.
That increase their jump by different amounts.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all there is.
Yeah, you get little helper guys every now and again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's other Pokemon that show up,
mm-hmm.
and have different effects.
Yeah.
I got that Litten. I had to.
Yeah, yeah, I have the Litten, too. I have the Litten and the Popplio.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, I don't have the Popplio.
Is it Popplio?
Piplup,
that's what it is. Whatever.
And, of course, there's Pikachu.
Of course
there's gotta Pikachu. There's got to be Pikachu.
Yeah.
I've been saving up my diamonds for that Charizard.
Same here. Yep, either Charizard or Snorlax, you know. We sound like we're speaking in tongues for people who don't... If you don't Pokemon, I understand it, but... no, it's fun. It's kind of a time waster.
I mean, it's literally a funny game. Like, it cracks jokes about Magikarp and...
Mm-hmm. How you don't pick whether your character is a boy or a girl. It's just total androgyny.
Yeah.
And then that guy that comes by and gives you coins says, hey, boy, girl.
Yeah, boy or girl.
Yeah.
There's that one random event that's like a Pokemon battle, but of course you can't do anything.
Yeah, because you're Magikarp.
Yep. Splash attack.
That's what it does.
I love how if you tap on your Magikarp too much, its Everstone breaks, and the next time you level it up, it turns into a Gyarados.
Yeah, which normally would be a great and amazing thing in regular Pokemon.
And in this one, it's like, nope, sorry, you're disqualified. Fish up your next one. Start over.
Yeah, it can be brutal, too, because it will kill your Magikarp. Things
yeah.
will happen, and it will die, and you will have to get a brand new one, start mm-hmm. over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pidgeotto's come out of the sky and, like, will eat your fish. Yeah.
There's one in one of the random events you can get eaten by. If you make it jump out of the pond enough times, mm-hmm. the Pidgeotto will come down, take it away.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you're a really ruthless breeder, if you get one you don't like...
Yeah.
You can just make it jump a bunch of times till it gets eaten.
So how many leagues have you gone through?
Just the first one. I'm still in the heavy league.
I see. I'm to the final. I can get all the way up to the final one of the heavy league, and then I keep losing.
I'm getting there. I'm not too far behind you.
Gotcha.
And you should play it, Samantha.
I might.
Making it sound good.
Yeah.
It doesn't require a lot of you. It's good to just, like, open your phone and do a couple of training things with it and then put it away.
You know, that's really been the boon of a lot of these Nintendo and Nintendo adjacent iOS games that have been released. Like, you don't have to put a lot of time and effort into it. Well, like Fire Emblem, like you can play that with one hand.
Yeah. Well, they want you to put the time and effort into their real games.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And same thing with Mario Run, for the most part.
Which I wish they would make more stuff for.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's such a good, well-designed game, but there's only...
Like 10 levels?
Yeah. And the Toad Rally is fun, but there's only like 6 of those.
Mm-hmm.
Just needs an update. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they will. I'm sure probably around Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
They'll update something.
And the whole... kingdom building thing needs to be integrated into the gameplay somehow.
Yeah,
because as it is right now, it's worthless.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I noticed when I played it too. Okay, so I haven't done a whole lot. I'm almost through all of the new Mystery Science Theater. I'm a couple episodes away.
It's not really binge watchable because it's not movies.
They're movies. They're full hour and a half movies. Yeah, it takes some time. But I've still been really enjoying it. I got through both of the magic, was it?
Wizards of the Lost Continent?
Yeah, that's what it is. Neither movie have anything to do with each other except the name and that there is a magic kid in it.
It's Harry Potter. It's pre-Harry Potter.
Yeah. And the second one has David Carradine as a bartender, or, well, it's David Carradine, so he's a drunk bartender. That fights people. It sucks. Yeah. The only thing I'm a little tiny bit bummed out about, and this is totally a personal thing that will not affect anyone else. I was a backer. One of the backer rewards is your name gets put onto one of the episodes of the show. My name shows up in the credits of possibly the worst overall episode of Mystery Science Theater in the entire run. And that is Carnival Magic, where it's just a bunch of carnies and a kind of talking chimpanzee. Like, it's not, you know, there's funny bad movie, and then there's just bad. Like, the movie is so terrible, the riffs don't hit all that often, because it's just so not great. And that's the one my name's attached to, so...
That's okay. I got the Time Travelers, and that one's not that great either.
Yeah, that one's a little slow. Although, did you notice that the doofy guy from Time Travelers shows up in Avalanche?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like the old lady's, like, aide.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Avalanche was a good one.
Yeah, that one was pretty good. Yeah.
When that avalanche hits, the riffs start hitting really well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
My favorite one still so far is Star Crash.
Star Crash. Oh, my God, Star Crash.
That southern robot.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of the ones that they played down at Bad Movie Night, just, you know, one night down in Columbus. And, yeah, God, Hasselhoff is a terrible actor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just the worst. Oh, speaking of Studio 35, I actually had another thing. I just thought of a thing I checked out. I went down to the first episode of the last season of Fritz the Night Owl last Friday.
Ooh.
And it was first time I'd been down there. I'd been wanting to go down to check out Fritz.
It always sells out.
Didn't sell out this time, but it was pretty packed. Pretty good turnout. They played Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. And it was really impressive how they did it. Like, they just... played the movie, you know, like normal, but they would have like commercial breaks. And during the commercial breaks, they would do like a still store of like a background from the movie, and they would superimpose Fritz's head into it, and Fritz would like tell like trivia about the movie and stuff. And then they would play a couple commercials pertaining to the movie. In this case, it was old Willy Wonka candy commercials and stuff. And then the movie would start back up. And there was one in particular that was... It's impressive how they did it. You know, in Willy Wonka, the tunnel, right?
Oh,
where
yeah.
They have the flashing lights.
That's my favorite part.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Well, one of the commercial breaks was they were in the tunnel, and they put Fritz's head where Willy Wonka was at the beginning of the boat, and they were able to match the flashing colored lights on his head.
Oh, wow.
So it looked like he was just, like, to, like, perfection. They were able to get it in there. And it
was
great. The only downside I have to say about Fritz the Night Owl is I didn't realize how long it was going to be. I didn't get back home till almost 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God.
And I had to be at work at 10 that day for a super long shift. So, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, they ran just a little bit long. They advertised that it starts at 11:30. It doesn't actually start till about 10 after 12. And then because they stitch in commercials and stuff. Yeah.
Into a full-length movie.
Yeah, an uncut movie. Yeah, but no, this is the final season. Fritz is 90, and I guess he makes it out to most of the shows. He wasn't at the one that I was at this time. I guess he was a little under the weather, I guess. Although he said his girlfriend was in town, which I guess is code for I'm not feeling it today. But I guess the final episode of Fritz the Night Owl he's going to do is it's going to be the original Star Wars trilogy.
Oh, wow.
All three of them.
All three?
In one night. Yeah, it's going to be a huge blowout. I hope I can get the time off for it. I'd have to take like 2 days off to do it. But it was really cool.
I want to go to that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if I can figure out the time, I'll let you know. But no, it was really cool. I guess the only other thing I really did was I got caught up in some comic books. And a lot of DC stuff. I dogged on the DC New 52 stuff a lot. We all did, I think. But me, you know, specifically because, you know.
You've dogged on a lot of stuff lately that has turned out to actually be pretty all right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, yes. But when they.
Power Rangers movie.
Power Rangers movie. Probably Wonder
probably
Woman.
Probably Wonder Woman.
Yeah. But no, New 52. The DC reboot from a few years ago, that totally deserved it because that sucked. That was not good. But they course corrected with this new line called Rebirth. And I had dropped off a lot of DC comics just because New 52 sucked and I didn't want to spend my money on them anymore. So, but I've been picking up like Green Lantern and stuff because I have to. Because I'm a crazy.
It's the law.
It's absolutely the law. Well, yeah. Because I'm a crazy person. No. And I finally got caught up on about 3 months worth of comics, which is a lot because DC has been putting out twice monthly all of their books for a while now, and it's good. It's back to being pretty good. Like they have two separate Green Lantern books running. The one that's set in space is excellent. The one that's set on Earth is good in very specific circumstances and is maybe not the best in others. For example, we were discussing off mic, they reintroduce an older supervillain named Dr. Polaris who has whose evil side is brought about by specific mental illness. And while I don't talk about my real job on the air too often, it is something that I see enough and know enough about to pinpoint and go, that is not what this character is portraying.
Yeah, and that is not cool.
This is not cool. It is, you're like over like hyper, like making, adding to the negativity, you know, it's super not right. So that was kind of a damper. And the two Earth Green Lanterns that are currently running, have very strong like character point, but anytime they try to diverge outside of that to make them well-rounded characters, they end up reading like blocks of wood, like generic superhero man is generic superhero woman.
I am here to save the day.
Pretty much, yeah. That's pretty much it. So, but yeah, no, it was good, and I've been reading Harley Quinn, and that continues to be good. It's still Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti.
They do a good job.
They do a very, very good job.
It's schlocky and fun, uh-huh. And that's what Harley Quinn is.
It's, yeah, it totally works. It totally works. And I'm super glad that they're sticking with the Harley doesn't need the Joker. Harley recognizes that she was in a very destructive relationship, like, early in her supervillainous career. And her book makes her out to be way more of, like, an anti-hero. Than anything, she's basically Deadpool without the talking to the self-awareness.
Yeah.
Although at times she gets the self-awareness, and they've been teaming her up with Power Girl every now and then.
That's cool,
and it's great because they wrote the original Power Girl comic from years ago.
It was really good too.
Yeah, and it was And they're using the Power Girl from that series, you know, pre-reboots. Like, there's, like, it's been, like, 3 or 4 reboots since that one. So I'm assuming that this character it takes place, it's kind of like a Squirrel Girl scenario where it's in continuity, but it's not.
Yeah, but it's also its own thing.
It's also its own, totally own thing, so they can get away with doing whatever.
Yeah, they can pick and choose what's continuity and what isn't.
And, you know, I think that's the best way to do it. You know, I'm a huge continuity nerd. I love it when comics cross over and, you know, things reference here and there. But because there's so many years of continuity in comics that making everything fit, it's like taking 5 jigsaw puzzles, mixing up the pieces, and trying to make one big picture out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of like the idea of being able to pick and choose, well, this makes sense and this doesn't, so let's kind of forget this.
Yeah.
Not even have to explain it away.
Just ignore it.
Just ignore it. It's not going to come up. Worry about this thing that we're talking about. So, yeah.
And it scares away new readers.
Years and years of continuity does scare away new readers. Absolutely. Yeah. It's super difficult to jump into a long running comic when you have to know this, 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 and this from like 10 years prior just to understand one reference made in a comic.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Although it's easier to jump in comics now than I think it ever was, because you just read a Wikipedia.
Yeah, Wikipedia helps.
Yeah.
And between the Marvel Unlimited app and Comixology, it's super easy to find old back issues, even ones that, you know, are super expensive normally, but digitally, read whatever.
Yeah, throw down a couple bucks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
If a certain character looks interesting to you or look like something you would like, read the Wikipedia and then pick up a book.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. All right, well, hey, we are getting pretty close to our break, so let's go ahead and stop here for now, and when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news.
Hey, we're back. That was a mashup of the nations of the world and states and their capitals from Animaniacs, classic animated 90s cartoon.
Oh, yeah, love Animaniacs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a major staple of my childhood.
Yeah. So why did we play those songs after this 2 or 3 minute break that totally wasn't a day later at all, wasn't totally the next day?
No. Well, because there's rumblings of the Animaniacs coming back, like you do now.
Yeah, reboots are very popular these days. And
It's like not set for any channel or official, but with the, you know, word on the street is that, you know, Steven Spielberg is getting people together to bring those Warner kids back out the tower.
Yeah. So for listeners who aren't familiar with the Animaniacs, what were they? It was an old cartoon from when we were kids, of course.
There were three monkeys.
Are they monkeys?
No, they're.
They're just like cartoons. They're generic, like,
yeah, they're old timey cartoon amalgamations.
Yeah,
who supposedly live in the Warner Brothers Tower on the Warner Brothers Studio lot, and they go around and drive people nuts.
Yeah, because they were like originally the in story like lore was like they were created in the 30s and like they predated like Bugs Bunny. They were like original Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck style.
They're like Mickey Mouse Bimbo and Betty Boop style.
But they were too crazy, so they locked them up for, what, 30,
yeah,
40
and
years?
Yeah, destroyed all their films.
Yeah, pretty much. And, then they just got out in the 90s and started, you know, going nuts.
They had baloney in their slacks.
God, that theme song is great.
Yeah, it is.
But no, I loved Animaniacs growing up. And a reboot? Do we really need a reboot?
Does
it
hold up though? Like,
they could. It could work.
Yeah,
I think it could work. They would have to get the original voices back.
Oh yeah, that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yakko Warner is not Yakko without Rob Paulsen.
Yeah.
Full stop. Same with was it D. Bradley Baker? Was that?
I think
was Wacko and Tris McNeil. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they'd be up for it. They were just recently talking about doing that Animaniacs live tour where they go around and perform the songs.
Oh, that would be super cool.
So they're obviously still down with the Warners.
Yeah. I would love to meet, you know, the original actors from that. All of them. Because Maurice LaMarche did a whole bunch of
The Brain.
Voices. Oh, yeah. That's where Pinky and the Brain came from. Some of the other ones was Chicken Boo, where just a giant chicken that everyone thought was a human.
Yeah, and Slappy Squirrel.
Slappy Squirrel, yeah.
Which I guess she was more of the Bugs Bunny style
kind of
animated
yeah,
character.
A little more, yeah.
that stupid singing cat.
Oh yeah, dog. The cat and dog. I never enjoyed those bits. The Goodfellas,
which is confusing when you're a kid and you don't know what Goodfellas is.
Yeah.
That's the thing about them. They would make like references like for the parents.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was one Absolutely. Of the first shows that really did that
uh-huh.
to the level that they did. The Minerva Mink lasted two cartoons before they said, hey, how about no more of that?
Yeah, pretty much.
and a nation of furries were born.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think we can do this on the television. So please no more. And she was relegated to just the theme sequence for the rest of time.
Pretty much. Yeah, but no, I think Animaniacs could stand for not a full blown reboot, but if it were a continuation of the original, I mean, there was no continuity to the original show.
Yeah,
anyway,
there's no need to reboot it. Like,
yeah, they could make references to the old while still being just do more episodes of it.
They're already cartoons from the 30s. Like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, they're kind of built to be timeless a little bit.
Yeah,
just update. References just a little bit here and there, and that's it. If they went full reboot, I don't know if it would land.
I'd be excited to see like their modern day celebrity references that they would do. It'd be funny.
Yeah, that would be really good. Yeah, that was a big component of their cartoons were celebrity, jokes and people doing impressions and stuff. That was really cool.
It's going to be a careful balancing act to not make the Warners annoying to both their target and the audience, mm-hmm. though, because. Some of those older episodes where the point of the plot is that they're driving, like, Einstein up the wall. It was always, a lot of the earlier ones, the formula was the Warners are in a different time and place and they're bothering a famous historical figure mm-hmm. or something like that. And those episodes are a little bit grating now as
a little
an adult.
Bit. Yeah, a little bit.
So they're going to have to be careful about that.
Yeah. What a large portion of it would be is they would need to get a lot of the original writer's room back.
Yeah.
I think. And that includes Paul Dini, because he was involved with Animaniacs quite a bit. Paul Dini went on and was a head writer for Batman the Animated Series, does comic stuff.
And all the Justice League.
And all the Justice League, a lot of that
stuff.
They
actually have that Batman and Harley Quinn movies coming out pretty soon.
It is, yeah.
It's very good.
It does, yes. But it would really come down to getting the original voices or a very close approximation of the original voices and the a good majority of the writer's room back.
And while they're at it, can they do another season of Freakazoid, please?
Yes, please. Yes, please. Oh, man.
That I would be like 100% excited for. I would be Mystery Science Theater coming back level excited for Freakazoid.
Same here. Oh, for sure. Because Freakazoid had that same style of comedy. It's had the same kind of references and stuff.
It was just taken.
Think about it now with the whole internet is now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Freakazoid was that taken up a notch and about superheroes.
Just think about this. Freakazoid and the age of memes.
Yeah, that's
That could be very good or very bad.
Yes.
Now that's all I want.
It almost makes more sense to bring it back than anything else at this point.
Kind of. Just as long as they don't bring Freakazoid back like live action.
I don't know. Depends on who Freakazoid was.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't cast it off the top of my head. But, I mean, the tick works.
The tick works. That's very true.
It was a lot. It was like the tick, but more insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I go, hey, speaking of reboots and things coming back, there was a final trailer dropped for the Sonic Mania video game. And we sat here and watched it here before recording. And I don't know, it looks good.
The trailer is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just like really well animated and really mm-hmm. captures the classic Sonic look. Like, you should watch it.
Yeah.
You listening should watch it.
Uh-huh. I agree.
It's very nice. It makes the game look good. I hope there's as much love in the game as there is in this trailer.
Yeah. The game itself looks like old Sonic. It looks good. I'm up. I'm ready for it. I mean, I was never a Sonic guy.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I never was, but seeing that, it's like, I kind of want to play that.
Yeah, it's making me nostalgic for a time that I never really had to begin with.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a weird thing, but yeah, it looks cool.
I'm down for more classic Sonic. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm down for Sonic Forces too.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Just to play with that character creator.
Did we ever talk about that?
I think we did.
We did. I think we talked about it briefly.
You were on that episode, yeah. Okay. But we did.
Yeah.
What kind of animal are you gonna make?
I don't. What kind of options are there? I don't even know.
Cat, rabbit,
hedgehog.
Hedgehog.
They haven't put the echidna in there.
Yeah, there's no echidna,
which is a shame.
Wolf is one, and bird I think is all.
Probably cat or bird.
Cat yeah. or bird. Cat or burb. So, Samantha the cat?
Probably.
Not Samantha the hedgehog?
No.
Which we actually talked about that week.
Yeah, that's we actually right. went through and yeah. found our
OCs.
Our online OCs, yeah. Yours turned out to be the best drawn of the bunch, so yeah. actually worked out.
But yeah, I'm excited for two Sonic games, which is not something I thought I would ever
yeah,
be.
That never happens.
Yeah. And at least one of them will probably be good.
Yeah. Well, law of averages. I mean, sure. Yeah. Let's talk about some more games real quick. I really don't have much to add to this one, but I guess there's a new Life is Strange game. I never played it.
There's not a whole lot to say other than...
it exists.
They're working on it now.
Oh.
Which, I mean,
awesome.
They said since the end of the first one, it says, like, Life is Strange will return at the end of the credits, mm-hmm. so... You know, it's not a huge surprise, but it's good. Another good adventure game coming out that's not by Telltale, so...
Yeah, that's always good. We'll take it.
I just hope they tweak the dialogue a little bit.
Also, it doesn't sound like, hello, fellow kids.
It's funny, because someone said that you could... Some of the lines you could read in Homestar's voice, and works perfectly. And someone recorded them in their Homestar impression. It was so funny.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
What was it? It's like... Look at that tasty plasma.
Yeah, maybe we could watch Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within.
Like, that is an actual line of dialogue.
Oh, no. Oh, that's great.
If you can look past the goofy dialogue, which really isn't hard. It's a fantastic game.
It's a good story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know where they're going with it. Be like.
Yeah, with the way that the first one ends, it's kind of hard to...
Like, it's going to be... Of new characters? Or...
I know, because it ends with a very binary choice that goes two ways. Although it really seems like one way is the true ending. But
gotcha.
Still,
yeah.
Like, they have to make that choice if they're going to do a direct sequel of which one is real. Unless they make two separate... It'd be like making two separate games if at the beginning they're like, so what did you do?
Or if they set this one with a completely different cast in the Life is Strange, like...
Like universe? A different set of kids going to the same school or whatever.
Something like that.
Or another kid gets...
This is kind of a little bit off topic, but remember when we were playing it and the game glitched and there's a kid standing in the doorway in the T-pose?
Yeah.
And it was so scary.
It was like just outside of where you could get to, like through a door. Well, you could see through a window somebody mm-hmm. just standing in the middle of a hallway
just
T-posing. T-pose,
oh my God.
Not moving.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the ghost cameras.
Oh, yeah. For some reason, the kids weren't loading in.
Oh, really?
At one point. And I walked in a room and like the stuff they're holding is just floating in the air.
Oh, that's great. So,
actually, yeah. Speaking of Life is Strange, it's going to be free on PSN in June.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, so
right on.
Check it out if you've got PS Plus, PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
It can't hurt.
Yeah. Got nothing to lose.
Yeah. So, moving on to a game that has even less news about it, Mario Rabbids the RPG.
Yeah.
What do we know about
yeah,
this
Yeah, we mentioned
mess.
It. A couple episodes ago that it was rumored to exist, and I think it was like Kotaku had gotten their hands on some assets but couldn't show them.
Yeah.
But we're saying, yeah, this is a thing. Now we have like a full like four slides from a presentation from Ubisoft. So it's a real thing. Mario's going to meet the Rabbids in a turn-based RPG where everyone has laser arm cannons?
Yeah. It's a very... It seems very not Mario.
Yeah, and a lot of the Rabbids are dressed as Mario characters. And
yeah, I know that Rabbid that was dressed up like Princess Peach has been like photoshopped into a bunch of different memes or something.
She's like taking a selfie.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about this.
I'm willing to give it a shot, but I'm not optimistic.
Yeah.
For one, I always give Ubisoft games a shot and then end up not liking them for whatever reason. So I'm worried that's how this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Watch Dogs didn't like it. And I always try really hard to get into these, and it, for some reason, I don't know what they do. It always feels, in the end, feels wholly hollow.
Yeah, weird. I just don't think the Mario universe and the Rabbids from Rayman, basically minions.
Yeah, they're basically minions.
Yeah, they're just white rabbit minions.
They came before the minions,
but I think their personalities have been tweaked a little more to be in line with the minions a little bit. In recent years.
They're just rude, mischievous, weird-looking rabbits, and they kind of don't fit with the wholesome gee-whiz Mario universe,
yeah,
you know?
It's like the most rude characters in the Mario universe are Wario and Waluigi. You know, everybody's favorite,
yeah.
Wario and Waluigi. But these rabbits are, by default, slightly more extreme.
They're obnoxious.
Yeah.
And Wario and Waluigi are not obnoxious.
Yeah.
They're just rude.
And gross.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mesh with Mario.
They don't.
I don't know.
I'll have to see.
Yeah, it looks bad, but I'm willing to give it a shot. And I'm also tired of saying things that are going to be bad on the show and then having them
not be. Yeah.
Speaking of which, over our 15-minute break, I managed to play about an hour and a half of Mass Effect. And I really like it.
You like it so far?
Yeah, after okay. I've trashed it. And I think it's pretty good so far.
Good.
I'm not in the actual loop, you know, main gameplay loop yet, but the opening has been really strong.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That patch must have done wonders for it.
Apparently.
Yeah, because I've watched Let's Plays of, like, that first, like, mission or whatever, and, like, it was...
The worst glitches I've seen are just, like, occasionally something will pop in and not be in its animation yet, and it takes a second to get there.
Gotcha.
But nothing horrid.
Okay, so yeah, they must have really worked on it.
But speaking of things we've said were bad in the past and turned out looking like they're going to be actually pretty good, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but by the time this airs, we all will have. Because it comes out this weekend, we record this a little bit early.
Yeah.
So expect a full review probably next week. But early reviews have come back really positive.
Yeah, its Rotten Tomatoes score is phenomenal.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
High 90s
right now.
94
as we record.
That's nice. Excellent. That makes me. I've never been so happy to be wrong.
Yeah.
It's the highest rating of all of the Marvel and DC. Superhero movies.
That's great. If any superhero movie needed to be great, this was it, and it did it.
It just needed to be okay.
Yeah.
It just had to be passable. That's all it had to be. And it's exceeding expectations,
apparently. And
that's really great.
I hope it makes just a buttload of cash.
Yeah, so we get more strong female-led superhero movies
and
action movies. We sorely need it. It's kind of something that the landscape has been craving. And on the same lines of that, the Alamo Draft House, a very, very famous, large theater chain.
Known for being, you know, pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah, you know. And they also have their video line where they released Miami Connection. That's an Alamo Draft House release, which is a great movie. Anyway, because of the Wonder Woman, they were doing one...
It's turned into two.
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
But they were originally going to do one women-only screening of Wonder Woman, which is great. I think that's super awesome. And, of course, because we're in that age, a bunch of whiny baby men on the internet complained about it, and Alamo Drafthouse had probably the best reaction to it. They said, oh, we're sorry you feel that way. Here's another all women screening of Wonder Woman. That's a great story. I love it.
Somebody was like, are you going to do an all clowns showing of It? And they're like, maybe. That's kind of a good idea.
That's kind of rad. Yeah. Well, Cody, you made the joke, why don't they do an all men showing of Boss Baby?
Yeah. Just like it's not feminism's about equality. This isn't equality. It's two showings.
It's two showings.
Movie.
Come on,
for charity.
Yeah, just cool it. Just cool it, everybody.
There's just some men who are so used to getting everything and having everything aimed at them that when one seemingly inconsequential like thing, like a woman's only showing of a movie about a strong woman, comes out, it's the end of the world, and they're very upset.
That just, it's funny to see the reactions, but it also really pisses me off.
Yeah.
Not the women only. Let me make that clear. Not the women on the screening. The fact that some men are so, feel so entitled that, you know, that, and their egos are so fragile that one woman only screening would totally wreck their stuff.
Their day.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to say stuff there for a second, but you know what I mean.
It's a problem with the nerd community as a whole is the inability to say, this is not for me.
Yeah. Agreed.
This isn't even about gender thing. It's just as a whole, the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
It's okay for some things to be not for you.
Yeah, exactly.
There are a lot of different kinds mm-hmm. of people in this world who enjoy different things, so not everything has to be specifically for you.
Yeah, and it's always been frustrating because I'd like to think that I've tried to keep that in mind. I don't know. It just, yeah, you know what I mean? I've always been kind of like, okay, things aren't for me.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't like this. Some people do. That's cool. Good for them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know. But good on Alamo Drafthouse.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's great.
That goes down to us complaining about Batman v Superman. Maybe it's not for us. Well, no, because it's so bad on a structural, like...
Yeah. Well, I've said many times I go into any kind of form of media with an open mind no matter what, and Batman v Superman is an objectively bad film.
Yeah.
Story points and, I mean, the visuals are good. It's, you know, visuals are fine, but when you have a almost 3-hour long movie and there's 2 hours of nothing happening in it...
that's kind of a big flaw.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it could be the live-action Freakazoid movie... and featuring the Animaniacs and like make it a like Who Framed Roger Rabbit with animated Animaniacs and live action, you know, whatever.
Oh, man, that sounds really good.
That sounds really good. But if they did a 3-hour movie of it directed by Zack Snyder and in two hours of the three.
Are the Animaniacs ruminating about the God on Earth?
Yeah, that is Freakazoid. Then that makes it an objectively bad movie. You know what I mean?
Now, so. Suicide Squad almost seems like it wasn't for us. I don't know.
It almost did, yeah, didn't it?
Because it seemed like they were very much courting a different crowd.
They were. They were courting a different crowd. I don't know.
Let women go see Wonder Woman by themselves.
Yeah.
These guys are going to get real mad when they find out where Wonder Woman comes from, too.
Yeah, I know, right?
She comes from a kind of Alamo Drafthouse with only women in it.
Yeah, yeah. So, moving on from all of this, kind of really changing gears, I don't know, Splatoon?
I don't know if they reveal. I don't know where the news came from, but somebody showed off.
It looked an awful lot like a patent.
Yeah, the headset for the... Splatoon's going to have voice chat, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
And they unveiled the... somebody found
The means for the voice chat to work.
Yeah, the headset and the way it plugs... Because the Switch doesn't do voice chat. Nintendo has always said there's going to be an app on your phone that works in tandem with the Switch to deliver your voice chat. And apparently you plug a squid-shaped adapter into your Switch... which you then plug into your phone, which you,
then
after
plug
that,
into,
plug into the headset.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of plugs. It's like, I don't know how you're going to have to buy a bunch of really long plugs. Because like when you dock it to your TV, I don't understand how that's going to work at all.
Well, you're just going to have to get real close to the screen. You're just going to have to stand like a foot away from your TV.
Yeah, because in handheld mode, it's...
That's fine.
It's cumbersome, but...
Yeah. Doable.
It's doable, but when you dock it, I don't understand how you're supposed to work it. How it's supposed to work unless you're going to buy a 20-foot aux cable.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it makes me wonder why. How many people are going to skip the Nintendo voice chat service over an already established one?
Yeah,
like
Skype or
Skype or what's the? There's one specific
TeamSpeak.
TeamSpeak.
I think.
Yeah,
I don't know,
that's
it's
one
the kids use.
Yeah, see, I don't.
I hate voice chat.
I really do too.
I don't like making phone calls, let alone you know, talking to some stranger who's going to call me racial slurs.
Yeah. I don't need a 12-year-old screaming obscenities at me.
Yeah.
In any form.
That was my favorite thing about Splatoon, is that it didn't have voice chat.
Yeah. If only the Switch had a second screen for the tapping, like, good job or over here.
Yeah.
Because if it did, I guarantee this voice chat thing would not be an issue. It would not even be considered.
This is, like, Nintendo's expensive way of suggesting maybe don't use it.
Yeah, maybe.
It's there. We did it, so you shut up about it, but it sucks.
Yeah. But it's an automatic part of the $30 a year, like, online thing you have to buy, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Which I wish they would explain how that works.
Yeah. I guarantee they still don't quite know how it works. Either that or they're saving it for E3.
Which is in a couple weeks, so we'll tell you then if we know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have to outline how online stuff's going to work at E3 and explain the virtual console.
Yeah, they have to, because they've said at the by the end of summer, like, the free online is going to be over and there's going to be a plan in place. There's just nothing there yet. They have a couple months to figure it out. That's an awful lot of infrastructure to put on and try to do for a couple months. Speaking of E3, what do you think's going to – do you have any predictions at all? I mean, I know where it's a couple weeks out, and I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, we should have planned for this.
We probably should.
Well, this is a good idea.
Yeah. Are we going to see any more Mario Odyssey?
Oh, yeah, that's guaranteed.
Yeah.
They've said that's basically what their booth is. It sounds like they're going to do the same thing they did last year with Zelda.
Okay.
But this year it's Mario.
Okay, that's fine.
But yeah, last year was fine. They did a good Nintendo Direct, and then everybody got to play Zelda. And E3 is open to the public this year. I wonder how that's going to change anything.
Yeah, that's going to get weird. I just have a feeling.
I wonder if we're going to get a lot of leaks, if people are going to be stealing stuff.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to see a bunch more VR stuff?
I hope so. I hope there's a lot of PlayStation VR stuff, because we desperately need it now.
Yeah.
Like, I have PlayStation VR, and I think it's great, but the only really good game it's had is that Resident Evil 7, which was phenomenal, and I want more of that kind of experience, but it's nowhere to be found. Although I've heard Farpoint, the first-person shooter that just came out, is good. I just haven't tried it yet.
Gotcha. That's cool.
But I hope that's a major component. I can't see it going anywhere else, though.
Yeah.
I don't see Microsoft doing VR. I don't know. They've done some pretty dumb stuff in the past.
I'll be honest. I think Microsoft might be slowly getting out of the games, like games as a console kind of thing. Because they keep pushing. I can see in the next couple of years the Xbox kind of fading and
just
it becomes
being a PC.
A PC-only
that you can
platform.
Hook to. It'll turn into like a literal PC that's built to be hooked to your TV for games.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that happening. And you know what? I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
Microsoft's strong point is PCs, not so much, you know.
They're really bad at getting exclusives.
Yeah.
And when they do get them, they'll cancel them like Scalebound.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's kind of the way they're going with this upgrade idea they have, like the Scorpio, I think is what it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
Where if there's constant upgrades on the same platform, then what difference is that than from a PC? Like, there's not one. It's the same concept.
It's the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. What's the difference between a modular console and a PC? Yeah, I don't know. Do you think you were going to see, what was that game called? Cuphead? It looked like an old-timey cartoon.
It's got to be coming out soon.
Yeah,
because they've had it at E3 the last couple years.
Yeah, I don't...
It looked really good last year.
Yeah. I want to be like, what's taking so long? But as somebody who makes games, it's hard to make video games.
It's tough. Yeah, sure.
I don't want to be that guy. What's taking so long? You could put multiplayer in this in like 2 weeks, right? It's like, no.
No.
That's not how making games works. But yeah, Cuphead looks excellent.
It does.
I wish it was multi-platform.
Yeah.
Not to trash Xbox people, if that's what that's your console of choice.
Yeah. Your console is not for us.
Yeah, yeah.
And if we're okay with that.
If that's your console choice, I'm sorry.
All right, well, it looks like we've hit time.
Really?
Thankfully. So let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com as well as facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us @nerd_overload and follow our YouTube channel and our Twitch channel.
Yeah, YouTube, Nerd Overload TV on YouTube and Nerd Overload Live on Twitch. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. We are also on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can find all of our back episodes over there. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.